I think that's critical. So as we finish up this summary of Ruth, I want you to look at it from the perspective of this is God's plan. He's practicing. Some people have in history have the opinion that the rapture's already come and, you know, the tribulation's already here and, you know, it started back in whatever. But when God is practicing, I think they're confusing God practicing through history. I think there's a difference between a foreshadowing of something to come and the actuality of the fulfillment of that prophecy. And that's what the feasts for me are. They're God rehearsing and practicing. And he tells us to rehearse and practice these things. And so that's why I want us to look at it from these three perspectives. One, what's God's plan? How do we see it here? Two, where are we in this story or plan? All right. And then, how do we use this story to prep for the second coming? So three perspectives I want you to take a look at as we go through this. What do we see God's plan? Where are we in the story? And how do we prep for the next feast in his plan, which comes up on the 15th of September, I see, at sundown. Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah.
In days of
awe. In fact, I got to get Deanna's. Deanna let me use a book, and I forgot to look at it, but I'll look at it next week when we start talking about it. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And I think what I might want to do, since we're going to have some new classmates that should be joining, we'll just take a little time maybe next week to just kind of have group discussion, just kind of talk about where we are, what all this means, and some perspective. Well, yeah. Well, I can't do it without steps. Really, just can't do it.
Those steps took me through that whole transformation into this.
Then the story is going to resonate. Alright, so again, just quick review. We went over chapter 1, and I think the big takeaways from chapter 1 are this. Ruth and Naomi follow the same steps. Those first three steps are contained in this story. Alright, and you can call it whatever you want. You can call it a love story. You can call it how to get God's best. You can call it how to get saved, how to get redeemed, because all of it is encompassed in this story. All right. So, chapter 1, we already had to review. Boom. You make a decision, and you don't consult God, and you wind up in Moab. I think we all got Moab pretty well down. Moab is that place that we go when we don't consult God, and we don't stand on the promises of God, and we don't wait on God to move. And we find ourselves in Moab. Praise God for Moab. Because in chapter 1, she comes back broke. Alright? Always come back to the Lord broke. Can you imagine? Oh, thank you. This ain't in my notes. I got in there, praise God, that she came back broke. But now let's ask the question. What happens if you show back up in the promised land, but you're not broke?
You'll be in yourself.
Alright, so I want to say that one more time. That is powerful. If you go back to the promised land, if you go back to God, if you start praying to God, if you come to church on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever day you come to church, and you're not broke, that's the problem. God did not show up at church with you. You showed up with the other guy. Because he'll take you to church too. And you will be here in yourself. And it won't take long for somebody in the promised land to take you off. B, broken. Praise God for the brokenness.
You'll be trying to take care of yourself instead of letting the Holy Spirit help you.
Got to be broke. Bad move that she went to Moab. Praise God she went to Moab. Yes, ma'am.
I'm reading a book on the Beatitudes.
Is it my book?
No.
Oh, okay, all right.
But I like the way this author states about being poor in spirit.
Yes.
He says you have to be spiritually bankrupt.
Yes.
Which is humility.
Yes. Yes. I'd be interested as you read the book to see what his take or his or her take is on the third beatitude, meekness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've read it and I try not to talk
about it. Yeah, I think it's strength under control, but anyway.
It is.
Yep, there you go. Okay.
He eventually gets to saying that, but he says other things before that
right.
I didn't necessarily agree with, but yes.
Well, as long as he came up with the proper conclusion. All right. All right. So, one, humble submission, broke. Recognize the need. Two, turn from Moab. Change your mind. Romans 12:1-2. Three, move. Now, again, we've already gone through this, but the word is important. There's two things we need to know as we try to get God's best. One, you need the word. Two, you need obedience. Without the word, she's not moving. And she has no hope. And she'll stay in Moab. We got to get the word out. Got to get the word out. Got to get the word out. Even with the story. Got to get the word out. Got to get the word out. And then you have to obey the word. You have to act on the word. Praise God. This is grace and mercy. Because I got so busy, had a funeral and everything else, I didn't get to the store like I wanted to. That was one of the main things I wanted to do. Thank you, Susan, for sending the text out. And all of a sudden, I'm like, crap. It's after 5 o'clock. I didn't do what I wanted to do. So the only thing I could do was, boom, I felt the need. I need to tell them I missed it, my bad. Two, I needed to repent of my attitude. Three, my hope is that I can still come back and see, and I didn't kick anybody off. I met my mission. Oh, God, the class teacher didn't even come to support us or whatever. So I'm moving by hope that I didn't miss out. What's the next step? Cross, grave, new hope, resurrection. I need to apply. I need to apologize. I need to let them know what happened too. I need to repent of the idea of I can just wait till tomorrow. You know, three, my hope is in. I think I'm coming correct. Hope. What? Cross,
spirit.
Grave, spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, what were they? Filled. And I'm filled today. I'm just following the steps. And Al is getting ready to go to step 5 as we are laughing and joking. So we will get Juanita a plate. It's deep, but in its simplicity, I have to go through these steps and even the most minor of details, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And it occurred. They both go through each of these three things. Chapter 1, step 1, 2, and 3. And it's never too late. Just get there. It's never too late. Just get there. I was too late to get to the grand opening, but just get there. Praise God.
I'm so thankful that Lee just getting this early in his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, just last weekend, we had a situation. All I had to do the next morning was, did you follow the steps? And he said, yes, ma'am, Mom, I was wrong. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it was a situation where he needed to follow the steps, and he knew to do it, and I didn't have to tell him. But when I asked him later if he did, he said he had.
All right. I'm only giving these bullets, and I'm going to put this on the website this week. I still haven't done it yet because it's tied up. But these bullets are just to encourage you, to let you know when you see these things happen, you're still okay. Recognize the need. You may lose something along the way.
But God's got better.
And I preached this at the prison at Kilby on a Friday night. And I asked the question, has anybody lost anything along the way? Has anybody gotten saved here in this prison? We'll call it Moab. And about half of them raised their hand and said, we've gotten saved through prison ministry. I said, even though you got saved and you're still in prison, have you lost things along the way? And half of those hands raised their hand and said, yeah, I've lost things along the way. It's okay. It's okay. Don't let what you lost send you back to Moab. My dad had like 80 acres of land, 40 acres of land or whatever that he bought, and somebody forced his signature, tricked him out of the land or whatever. He was well into his 80s, and he was still talking about that land. And eventually, you know, dad, let it go. Let it go. Because at this stage in the game, nobody's even trying to live down there anymore. You're going to go down there to fish and hunt. Just let it go. You have what you need for today. And so to look at the inmates and say, I know you've lost something, but do you have something today that you still can hold on to, that you can praise God for? And they all nodded their heads. I'm like, then you're on the right path. Follow the steps. So I put some of these bullets in here so that you'll understand as you go through this, because sometimes you'll be scratching your head going, do the steps work? You know, is it really going to be better when I leave Moab? Yeah. Because it worked out for her. And that's where you look at this story, you see God practicing, you can say, if he did it for Ruth, he'll do it for us. Let's do what Ruth does. Let's do what Naomi does so we can get what God gave to them. Got to see myself in this story. All right. Again, first chapter. You know, which one are you? Naomi, Ruth, or Orpah? in this stage. I want to be Ruth. I'll settle for Naomi. I sure don't want to be Orpah. I don't want to let fear and doubt cause me to go back to Moab. I've lived my Christian life too long going back and forth. I want to stay in the Holy of Holies. All right, so that's chapter one. Now, the thing about chapter two is she goes through steps four and five. So chapter two is, I've done one and three. The Holy Spirit needs to come in, and I need to be blessed on purpose. So when you do chapter one, you should expect God to chime in and do it on purpose. He has to bless you on purpose. It's part of the plan. And when he blesses you, all right, the purpose of the blessing is not just to encourage you so that you'll stay in the right place and stand on his promises. It is because, all right, Hey, Susan, pray for Deb, will you?
Father, we just bring Deb up to you right now. And we ask that your resurrection power would go to where it needs to go in her back area.
Yes, Lord. Let's pray for her healing right now.
To the roots of the issue.
Lord God, that you would touch her right now.
And as we ask together, that you would fill us with faith.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, because you said, Jesus, you said,
touch her back right now, relieve the pain right now.
You said, you taught in your word, if we ask, believing in your name, that you would do it. So fill us with faith right now, Lord, please.
Yes,
if only you can. We can't even have faith without you. So we ask you to give us the faith.
Yes, Lord.
To ask you to heal Deb's back in Jesus' name and give her relief.
Yes, Lord. Right now.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, just some key points here, because sometimes you'll get discouraged in transition. I didn't go to school. I think Paul's testimony last week was just powerful. He didn't go to school to be a courier for Krispy Kreme. But gleaning is what you do, and you'll appreciate what's coming back, and God will bless you on purpose. All right? Sometimes you'll go through a gleaning season. I see so many young people, and they make this mistake. They want it now. And they don't realize you've got to be faithful over the small things and not sweat the small things and be good at the small things before God will elevate you to be great at the other things or the future things. Everything that she does is a stepping stone to something else. And I don't have this in my notes, but let's just say this. Don't discount the blessing that he gives you. Because the blessing that he gives her is enough to bless somebody else. Sometimes we'll look at our situation and go, oh, I don't know. I don't have any money for you. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't do that. You probably need to be talking to somebody else. But you know somebody. You know God. If you're in this class, you're going to get a word. There's something that God is going to give you that you can share with somebody else. Don't share with anybody else until you first hook up with God. You can't hook anybody else up until you hook yourself up. You shouldn't be talking to anybody until you talk to God first. And that's one of the things that she does here. She makes sure that she's full before she goes back to bless Naomi. That's important. I think sometimes we as Christians will miss the mark and just jump out there and do something because it seems right, seems good, you know, seems like a no-brainer. But logic and and spirit don't always mix. What seems logical may not be spiritual.
That's right.
So do 1, 2, 3, step 4, and then step 5 is that mercy to come. So now we just see this process, because all of this is a process. The steps are a process in a sequence that follows in order. All right? And so we see that here. So whatever happens in chapter 2, should be happening to us as well as we follow the steps. God should be blessing us on purpose. It also fits in with the gospel. What does Christ promise us before he leaves?
Helper.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to give us that. So I don't want to talk about different denominations or whatever. But there's one group I was in. Well, you got to ask for it. Well, okay, well, I'll ask for it. But I don't ask for it anymore. It's mine. It's coming.
You didn't thank
I have it. I thank him for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, and that's changed everything. When I give the profession of faith and I walk through the prayer with the men, I don't say I hope, you know. No, thank you. You have saved me. I receive it. I accept it by faith. It's mine. Have everlasting life. I don't go, well, I hope I got everlasting life. No. You got to know. And these bullet points will help you stand on what you know. Oh, my goodness. So, Luke, stand on what you know. In the uncertainties of time, and when you have to make a decision, stand on what you know.
Amen.
Can't tell you how many times I had different job situations, and I'm like, man, am I supposed to take this job over here? I'm supposed to take this job over there? I'm supposed to do this over there? Well, I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what to do. But what is it that you absolutely know? Work off of that. So you're getting ready to wrestle somebody. It might be bigger than you, and it might be stronger or whatever. Are you going to try something new and different? Work off of what you know, and then deviate from that and see what opportunity is there. All right. Okay. And I like the idea that she speaks faith before she even goes out. So let's go to chapter 3. And again, I'll put all these things out here or whatever, just some other things that I like. Speak faith before you go. It gets easier as you go. This is one of the fundamental questions that I ask most believers. And the question I ask is the Christian life hard? 90% of people say, yes, it's hard. That poses a problem for me, because I used to answer the same way. And it is hard. But two things help me. One, I read Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life, so that kind of helped me. So I'm living the abnormal life if it's going to be that hard. And two, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, then somebody's wrong. Either Jesus is wrong or I ain't doing this the right way. But it is hard. But in the story, because she remains faithful, it gets easier as she goes. You just have to recognize that it's getting easy. That's why you want to count your blessings every day. Every day I get up, I count my blessings. I can think, just merely getting up. I just got back from a couple funerals. Just getting up is a good day. It's a good day. Alright? I like verses 12 and 13. The word will comfort you during your transition period. Each phase that she goes, she gets a word. And then she gets a rhema word or a new word in each chapter of instructions on what to do next. Don't worry about if you don't know what to do. Get there and he'll tell you what the next step is. Just follow the steps. Alright. And of course, take your leftovers. And again, even with this, recognize that you've got a rich relative that's working for you. All right? Always don't leave Christ back in chapter 1. Pick him up in chapter 2 and 3, and he'll bless you on purpose. All right. And wait for further instructions. All right. Now we get to chapter 3. This is the new part of the summary. Find a good mentor. God will give you divine connection. Find a good mentor. That's what she does. If you find a good mentor, they will confirm and help support what he's already told you to do. All right? It's important to have a good mentor because you can do the wrong thing. You can go after the right thing.
Do it the wrong way.
That's all throughout the Bible. How about Moses? Did he know he was supposed to be a deliverer? That's what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. See, Moses knew, hey, look, I'm sitting in the palace living on satin sheets or whatever, and my people are down there getting me. I must be set up in this position to deliver my people. But he went about it the wrong way. And then you got to go on probation for 40 years. And then you have to do it led by the Spirit, not in your own logic.
That probation period will get real rough.
Well, you go from satin sheets to sleeping with sheep, so. Yeah. But praise God for the mistake so that he can do it the right way. But you don't have to make the same mistake. All right, the mentor shows you the proper way to pursue it. Have you ever done a resume?
Yes, I
have. Oh, good. How many have you done?
Two.
Two? I've probably done about 200. The next time you do a resume, you might want to talk to somebody that's done a couple more resumes. What does your resume say? What's the most powerful bullet of your resume? Do you remember? The item that you're most proud of.
Most proud of?
In your resume.
Probably... being on...
Okay, so the thing that he's most proud of is being on his sports team. Good bullet. Good bullet. Can he say that any better? What's missing? What's missing? He's a letterman. He's an athlete. On his school sports team. That's a good thing. If he's got good grades, that means he's a well-rounded student. Got it. What's missing?
He's got to be on God's team.
God's team is good. God's team is good. If you're going to hire Luke and you're looking for somebody who's an athlete and you find out that he's on a sports team, do you hire him based upon that knowledge alone?
No.
What specifically do you want to know?
How long?
All right, how long?
His accomplishments.
Boom! There you go. He's most proud of being on a sports team. What I'm looking for in the resume is how well did the team perform because of you? Or what was the personal accolades or achievements that you made on the team? Did you do anything? Did you achieve anything while you were on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact of being on the varsity lineup as a seventh grader is an achievement.
Is that on your resume?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that you were a seventh grader brought up to the varsity?
Wow.
Let me tell you wow. Not only is that a wow that he's a seventh grader on the varsity, all right? It's a while because 90% of the resumes I see just say I'm on the sports team.
Yeah.
And they lack the specific results to show me how good you were on the sports team. That's what mentoring can do. There's probably somebody, Luke, everybody in this room here probably has something that could show into your life that you haven't experienced yet that they can help you with. All right. So that's the power of having a good mentor. All right. It helps you go after things. Right. Make sure you got a good mentor that's connected to the kingdom.
I can give you so many examples of Susan being my mentor and how her experience helped me just in raising my children.
Okay. Does it make it easier?
Yeah.
Did you avoid some pitfalls?
Yes.
So I don't know why living the Christian life is so difficult.
Well, one of the things I was going to say, and I keep interrupting, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Going through what I've been through and opening this new business is a huge thing for me personally, something I never thought I would do. And what you're talking about is getting the Word, following the Word, obeying the Word. And when you don't know, go back and getting the Word, following the Word, obeying the Word, and doing it. And walking through it was hard physically.
Yeah.
But at the end of the, right before we opened, after that first day, and I'm journaling in my prayer journal, what came to my mind was, and what I realized was, I felt freedom in that I'd never felt before.
Okay.
Because when Christ sets you free, you're supposed to be free indeed. And so, yes, physically it was hard. Yes, I had to keep going back to the Word. I had to keep going back to God. I had to abide, which was my word He gave me at the beginning of the year this year. And it didn't make it easy, per se,
it was still a lot of hard work, but the freedom that I walked in knowing that I was walking in His perfect will of something He had called me to was life-changing. I'll never be the same because of it.
So what chapter in the story of Ruth did you just describe that every day you had to go back through this?
Ruth going back to Glean every day.
Chapter 2. And because you kept doing that every day, chapter 2, you got a freedom. It's going to make it a little bit easier. But then the store opens, and now we're looking at chapter 3. And you just said something.
He blessed me on purpose. And I'm not taking it for granted for a single moment. He gets all the glory.
So He blessed you on purpose, and then all of a sudden you said something to the effect of, something's happening with this story that I never dreamed of and never saw coming. So now you're living chapter 4. And this is a continuous improvement thing. Because you're experiencing God's best. But it's better still ahead of you.
I have the faith to believe it because He's taken me this far now.
So now you just keep...
I never would have thought it back here.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here, I have the faith to believe He'll take me here.
Which is why He had to bless you on purpose as you get closer. And I'm saying, let's continue the cycle. Because even in chapter 3, she still has to follow and obey the advice of her mentor in chapter 2, mm-hmm. which is, go wash yourself up. Get that dirt off. Alright, anoint yourself and follow these instructions and obey. Every day. We're picking up our cross. But you can be at chapter 4 of Ruth every day.
Now, I'm not saying all of that. I'm just giving it as an example. I didn't do it, God did it.
Well,
God did it through them. God did it through me. He did it through my partner.
Wasn't that
Ruth? He used all of these people around me.
So you got divine appointments like Ruth had. You got some Boazes in there knocking some things out for you. And now you get to enjoy. And now Al and I are going to come down there and get to hold on to some of the stuff that you've been able to achieve.
Al's a big man.
Let me tell you the coolest, one of the other coolest parts really quick. And I'm sorry I'm taking up so much
time.
That's fine. But God led me to Nehemiah and how I was supposed to go through this, like Nehemiah rebuilding the wall.
Yep.
And we went in and started pressure washing and sweeping and cleaning on July the 10th. And we finished on July the 30th to be open on the 31st. And from July the 10th to August the 30th was 52 days. When we first started moving stuff and all of that, it was 52 days. I've got it in my journal. 52 days, and that's how long it took them to build the wall.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Okay.
In Nehemiah 6, so on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun.
I have to go back and see when I figured out to have this block party. God will always provide divine instruction before divine promotion.
And we literally had to build walls,
but
they did.
Yeah. All right. Just a couple of more bullets here, just so you can... don't complain about the measured blessings. Here's another big one. After all of that, everyday, daily grind, whatever, and you get in position and you stand before the Lord and the Lord tells you, you know, boom, 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 and you're lined up and you're following this story, all of a sudden there's an obstacle in the way.
Always.
And you can't, it always, because why? Why is there always an obstacle?
Because the enemy
doesn't want to. Satan is always there.
Roams around like a roaring lion.
Sometimes it's a test.
Yeah.
A test.
Yeah, and our flesh gets in the way.
Because
What is God testing after we've shown all this faithfulness for all this time?
We'll continue to call out to him to seek him. That's what he told them. He told the Hebrews, he said, I tested them in the desert, in the wilderness, to see if they would call out to me.
And the test was while they were in the wilderness, after he had already set them free, after they had already seen the miracles, after he was already blessing them on purpose every day with manna, after he had already shown them through the cloud and the pillar of fire that his spirit was with them. After all of that, we still need to be tested? Yes, we still need to be tested, because after a while, we might start thinking,
I did this.
There you go.
We did, we will.
So then you go back and you're no longer broke, and now you think you're somebody.
Yeah. And you have to remember, when you face the obstacles, the sovereignty of God got you there.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can help you out of there.
So if he brought you there, Red Sea, on purpose, there must be a purpose for him to have the obstacle in front of you so that he gets glory. When he brings you through this, your story is probably going to encourage somebody else to go, if it happened to them, what did you do so that it can happen to me? Because I want to experience his best too. Stay in the fight. Facing obstacles is part of the plan. When you understand that obstacles are part of the plan, you won't freak out when the obstacles come. Count it all joy.
You won't freak out as bad.
I'll go with that. There are degrees. All right. Luke, let me ask you a question. What do you prefer on your sports team? Do you prefer practicing different moves or whatever? Or do you like the actual competition? Why don't you like the competition?
Because I'm not sure.
Well, you're not sure about how to answer that, or you're not sure how the outcome is going to be?
Well, it's sometimes I want to practice, and then sometimes I don't. But I guess that's just because I know what's coming up.
And you know you got to face a challenge, so you practice.
Yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Ruth is practicing from chapter 1, 2, and even 3. But the obstacle comes in this competition. The question is, if I practice well, I'm going to feel a little bit different about the competition. Question, is the competition in sports necessary? What gets the greater glory, the practice or the competition? Mm-hmm. Auburn and Alabama can practice all day long, but we really don't know how good they are until... Do we get greater accolades from practice, even though practice is necessary, or through the competition? When you know that your practice is good,
it gives you confidence for your competition.
And then you can talk to your obstacle like David talked to Goliath.
Amen to that.
Except Bo Jackson. He didn't track me to like practice.
Yeah, and we see both. Well, anyway, I'm not going. Shut up, Jimmy.
I don't know too many athletes that like practice.
If I can skip practice and go straight to the game, that's great. But now I'm skipping steps.
See, I was one of those athletes. Yeah.
And until they don't like it, doesn't mean they don't do it.
But I'm starting to enjoy practice because I see it, like Luke said, I see it as a necessary need for me to be ready to prepare for the obstacles that are here.
And condition, you won't make it.
Well, if you don't practice these steps, you ain't going to make it.
But the pressure of the competition keeps some people.
But when you practice and you've got the right perspective and God is in this thing, all you need to do is just sit back and go, God has this. There's some obstacles that I don't have to worry about because I know He's got it. That's the story. Facing obstacles is part of the plan. Count it all joy when you go through various trials.
Well, Ruth has seen some stuff.
Yeah, she's seen some stuff.
She has seen God bring her out of an adulterous, evil land to a land, the land of bread, where God was. And a woman had given her a woman who loved God and who was loving to her. She had seen God give her food to eat and provide for them. She had seen kindness. She had seen that in her land.
Yep.
And she had seen some stuff. And then she had seen Boaz cover her and do what Naomi had said. And then she was prepared at that moment when he said, well, I got to go check and see if the other guy wants to redeem him. I'm sure she was still on edge.
Which is why you still need the word to encourage you. The first thing he says to her is, fear not.
And then Naomi said when she got back,
don't worry about it.
He will not rest until the matter is handled today.
And that's when you go back to your word, from the word, and you go, Lord, this is, and you remind God what he promised you.
Yep. Which is basically what she did when she approached him.
I
hey!
That so many times. Back to
I'm praying the word back to you.
This is what you said. These yep. are the scriptures you gave me.
Yep. I need to write that down.
Not
that's
giving
good.
Up. I don't need to give up. And every day, I'm like Moses, I'm not going unless you're going with me.
Yep. Yep. Okay. God, some key points in chapter 4 as she approaches, she gets through step 6, she approaches step 7. God is proud of us. When we get to this point, we're in line with the King. He's proud of us. Your past does not define your future. It's not how you start the game, it's how you finish. And he's proud of us. Don't downplay who you are. You're precious in his sight. He's proud of you. All right. Ruth is famous. How does she get famous? She followed the 7 steps. Want to be famous? Follow the 7 steps. All right. She's in the same line as the King. Her future looks bright. It's just key things here. That, you know, again, it's not how you start; it's how you finish. So here's some things as we get ready to wrap up. Who are you, and where are you in this story? So I've always told myself that I'm not Ruth. Too old for that. Not trying to do that. I'm Naomi. I'm trying to sow and mentor other people into the kingdom so that when God blesses them, I can sit back and enjoy the fruits of their labor. I think any parent has that same goal for their child, any good parent. But I'm starting to think that it might be situational. While I'm primarily a Naomi type, I think, there might be some things where, elements in my life where I need to be a Ruth. Because there might be some things that God's going to bless me from that perspective. I'm okay with Naomi because Naomi's enjoying something that she never expected to happen as well, just because she was a mentor. So if you're a mentor, find yourself a Ruth. Invest in somebody so that you can enjoy your best season as well. If you're Ruth, find yourself a mentor to help guide you to God's best. Alright? And there's a reward when you serve God and others in the kingdom. Now she has peace, and I got some other points there or whatever. But you'll have to ask yourself where you are in the story. Now, where are we in the story as it pertains to end time prophecy? Let's go back to what we said here. God's plan. God's plan is that we are in the church age, all right? And that the first four feasts have been fulfilled. Death, burial, resurrection, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're in what's called the church age. Bless you. That's why they read Ruth. Bless you again. That's why they read Ruth during the Feast of Pentecost. They could read Ruth anywhere, but it's where the Gentile church and the Jews are brought in together. This is the church age. We're in that gap. We're right before the season of Av. We're in the season of Teshuvah. There's only one feast in the summer months. It's Pentecost. And during that season of Pentecost, in these summer months, when it gets hot, it's getting hot, this is where we do that work, all right? As we wait, like Ruth did, for our Boaz to come, Feast of Trumpets. So God's practicing. That's God's plan. That's where we are in eschatology, in the plan of God. We're waiting for feast number five. Where are you in this story? I hope I start out every day in chapter one. And by the time I get off my knees from praying, I want to be in chapter four. Even if I have not received it yet, I want to be able to have the peace of mind and praise and knowing it's coming. Because I'm in alignment with God and He has to bless me on purpose today. Three, how do I prep for the second coming? It's in the story of Ruth. I have to reach out to others. I have to do what He asked the church to do. I have to be a light to somebody else. I have to do more than sit in Bible study and soak up the word. I've got to spread it to somebody else in some way, manner, or form. I've got to extend mercy so that I receive mercy. Five is the number of mercy in the Bible. So I ask you again, where are you as it appears in this story? If you do what Ruth did, you'll get what Ruth got. Mercy, grace, favor, at a larger degree than what you ever knew before. All right? That is the end of our study on Ruth. Okay. Any questions? Do you know what to do?
I'm a good mentor.
The steps.
Yeah.
Both.